Wow. How was that? Thanks, Mom. At least Mom thought it was good. How good was that? Just God's presence and just God speaking and moving. And I don't know. I love it when God speaks before I speak. Because that's how it should be. It's just really good. Sweet. Is everybody here with us? Everybody has something to write things down and a Bible and at least one of those things. I found this site this week. If you're an iPhone user, you might have heard of YouVersion, which is an online Bible thing, which is really good. But they have a website, YouVersion.com, and the whole thing is set up for journaling. And I found it this week, and I've started using it, and it's awesome. It's like the Bible, but you log in, like you give yourself a username and whatever, like Facebook or something, and you can click on a verse and then just directly like write notes on it and write journal entries on that or contribute things to this whole community of people who are reading the Bible and putting stuff on. And so if you're looking for another way maybe to get into journaling and you're technically minded, that might be a way of doing that for you. I don't know, but I really enjoyed it, and it's good to, because it's just got a whole bunch of kind of real people like us just writing, like they've read this passage that you're reading and they were challenged by it and they just write down like a thought on that or something, and there's this kind of, like, it's really good. And I haven't found any wackos on there yet, so it's really cool. But yeah, but I'm there now to fix all of that, yeah. Anyway, that was just a complete aside, but I suppose my point in that is we need to be spending time with God daily, and it doesn't matter whether that's like your page-turning paper and ink Bible or on your computer or your phone or whatever. Like, it's the Word of God. It's not like this pages and binding isn't sacred. The Word of God is sacred, so however you can get it. And let God speak to your heart. Sweet. So tonight I want to talk about dedication, which I think is interesting because it's maybe a little bit similar to faithfulness, which Dad preached on this morning, and it was a really good message. And so if you didn't get it, then get on the website and get the podcast of it because it was great. And I was thinking about dedication and thinking, like, what does it mean to be dedicated, or what does it mean to dedicate something or someone? And I looked it up, and dedicate means like wholly committed, set apart and reserved for. It says like set aside, consecrated. Like that's kind of what the word dedicate means. And in church now, like we've done it many times, people would dedicate their baby to God. And so you have a baby and you want to say to God, I want to commit to raising this child in your way and with your word and your spirit. And so I'm dedicating that to you. And we have like a marriage that we dedicate that to God. And so thinking about what that means for me was just really interesting. And then I was reading in 1 Samuel. And there's this incredible story of this woman named Hannah and her dedication. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. I won't read the whole thing. So Hannah is this woman who can't have kids. So she, the Bible calls her barren. And so like she's tried to have kids and she just can't get pregnant. And so so that's happening anyway. And so she has all of this heartache and all of this kind of, I don't know, she feels this kind of weight because of that. And she desperately wants this child. And she's at the altar of God just crying out, like literally just weeping and crying out, so much so that Eli, the priest, sees her and thinks that she's drunk because she's so intensely, like just desperately asking God to hear her. And she says this, she's there weeping and she says, she prays and she says, she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. It wasn't Mitch. And he kept praying and that's when Eli sees her and he says, go and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked for. So she does that and she goes, and then this miracle happens and she falls pregnant for this child who is Samuel. And it says they come up and she weans him and she comes and then she, as soon as Samuel is old enough, she brings him to the temple and she gives her son that the God has given her in a miracle that she was weeping and crying. She gives it up to the temple and she says, I dedicated this child to God and so I'm going to give it. And then she goes away. And that's incredible, don't you think? And she sees Eli, this priest, and she says, this is my son, but I'm dedicating him to God. And so I was thinking about this and how incredibly faithful Hannah was in doing what she said she would do. And she just gives up Samuel to God. And it's an incredible story and this incredible example of a woman who is just dedicated to God and what he has for her life. And I'll talk more later, but we know in the story that God gives her other kids and that Samuel grows into this incredible man of God that God just uses in amazing ways. So it's worth it. But I was thinking about Samuel, and it got me thinking about Samson because they have really similar sounding names. And I was trying to find something spiritual in terms of the Sam in both, but I couldn't. So if you want to go home and look up the Hebrew and all that stuff, then maybe there's a bonus thought in there for you. But what amazed me was in Judges 13 we hear about Samson. And it says this. There was this man who had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. Says, you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. This is what God says to her. So see it that you don't drink wine or fermented drink and you don't eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. He will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And I was fascinated that there's these stories, like one in Judges and one in Samuel, that are almost identical. Both of these women, they can't have kids and God does a miracle and they both have to dedicate their son to God as a Nazarite. And I was just like, wow, this is like they have similar sounding names. They were judges, they were there and God was using them and they were both dedicated in the same way and their mothers were both unable to have a child but did miraculously. And I was just like, they're really similar, and I hadn't really thought about it that much before. So I looked up what a Nazarite is, because it's probably not a term that we use a lot these days. But in number 6, it talks about a person, like a man or a woman, who wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite. It says they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as they remain under their Nazarite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of the Nazarite's vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period, they must not go near a dead body. Even if their father or mother or brother or sister dies, they may not make themselves ceremonially unclean on account of them. I'm just powering through this, sorry. So if you've got your Bible, you can read it yourself and keep up. Because the symbol of their dedication to God is on their head. Throughout the period of their dedication, they are consecrated to the Lord. And we know that consecrated is like another word for dedicate. And so I was thinking about this. And it's interesting because in Numbers it talks about a Nazarite as a thing that somebody would do for a season. It's like a thing that they would do if they wanted to do something extra special and really sacrifice some time and seek God and do that. But for Samson and for Samuel, they didn't decide to make a Nazarite vow. God anointed them for that from birth for their entire life. And I just thought that was incredible. But what really amazed me and what I want to kind of talk about tonight is how their lives ended up so different. How two men with such similar starts, like almost identical beginnings in life, would end up, like with Samuel being anointed and serving God for his life and seeing incredible things happen. And like Samuel goes on to anoint David as king of Israel. Like he just so much stuff happens in his life. And Samson, that just like everything just goes wrong. And he wrecks everything and he throws it all away and it ends in his death. And there's just this such contrast in how they lived. And then I realized that maybe it's not just about being dedicated, because both of them were dedicated as babies, as children. They were dedicated to God, but it's about living dedicated. And so I kind of want to talk tonight about how we can live dedicated and maybe how Samuel did and Samson didn't. And because I know that like my life is dedicated to God, but it's not enough just to say that, but it's living that every day. Is this good? Cool. All right. So the first thing I think we need to do if we want to live a dedicated life is be faithful to that dedication. So Dad spoke on faithfulness this morning. So I don't need to go into huge depth on that. You can get that. But everyone knows what faithfulness means, like sticking to your word and doing what you say. And that's really a hard thing to do. But we need to, and I know I need to, and whenever you don't, it just messes things up. So faithfulness. But anyway, what I find interesting about these two guys is that Samuel takes this vow to be a Nazirite and to serve God seriously, and Samson takes it for granted. And so in 1 Samuel 3, we hear about God's starting to speak to Samuel. And there's this great little bit in verse 19 that says this: "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet to the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel." So here is Samuel who dedicates his life and then lives faithfully doing that continuously. And because he does that, God honors him and he doesn't let anything drop that he says, and he speaks to him every day and he moves through him. He does an incredible thing. And we contrast that with Samson, who, now you remember that part of that Nazirite vow was that they would not touch anything dead or unclean. And there's this part in Judges 14 where Samson comes, he's walking to this place, and you know Samson, like maybe from the stories where he has long hair and it gives him great strength, yeah, everyone? That's the Samson I'm talking about. I kind of forgot to mention that earlier. And this lion comes up to him, as you would. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came on him in power, so he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have a young goat." I don't know what people are doing that was like a regular kind of, it's just like a goat. And everyone's like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. It's messed up. Anyway, but that's what happens. But then there's this thing, it says, then something in verse 8, then sometime later he went back, like he's trying to marry this woman anyway, and that's not what God wants and all of that as well. But it says he sees this dead lion carcass, and these bees have kind of started getting in there and making honey. So he scoops the honey out with his hands and he eats it. And then you look at that and you say, well, wasn't like his vow to not touch anything dead or unclean, but he just grabs this honey out of this dead lion carcass thing? And that's, I find that astonishing. And what I realized with that is that Samuel is a guy that says, I'm dedicated and I'm going to live dedicated. And Samson says, I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want. And I think when we dedicate something, it can't just be words, or it can't be a ceremony or something that we do on a Sunday in church or something. It's a commitment to a way of living. And Samuel understood this. And was faithful to God and faithful to his calling and faithful to the vow that he had made. And Samson was not. And we see the results in their lives. So number one, we need to be faithful to the dedication that we've made. Number two, it takes humility if we want to live dedicated. Because dedication isn't about you. It's about who you've dedicated yourself to. Like, if you were talking in terms of the world, we sometimes hear people have, like, dedicated their life's work to something. Maybe it was finding a cure for cancer or something like that. And so for them, their life isn't about themselves, but it's about the thing that they've dedicated themselves to finding or to doing. And to do that with God, it takes humility. It takes us saying, God, I'm dedicating everything of me to you, so I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm not going to try and do that, but I'm going to submit to what you have for my heart. And Samuel is this guy that just follows that and just submits to God and is humble. And right at the start, in Samuel 3, this is the very first time that God is trying to talk to Samuel. And Samuel does not even know that it's God. And he says he's asleep, or he's about to be asleep. He's lying down. And the Lord calls to him, and he says, the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answers, here I am. And he runs to Eli, the priest, and says, here I am, you called me, because he thinks that Eli has called out for him, not realizing that it's God. And Eli says, I didn't do it. Go back, and does it again, and he does it again. And then Eli realizes that it's God. And so he says, go and lie down, and if he calls, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went down and lay in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And then God tells him this challenging prophecy. It's not a nice prophecy. He says, the stuff that I have said to Eli and that I've spoken against his family, because you know, if you know the story, Eli's sons were in a mess and they were doing all sorts of things and they were ripping people off. They were meant to be priests, but they were doing all of this sort of dodgy stuff. And so God says, I'm going to judge that. And so he says all this stuff to Samuel, and the very first time that God speaks to him, and Samuel doesn't shrink back or try and work away, because like Eli like has looked after him his entire life, like he's like a father to him, but he has the courage to go to Eli, and Eli has the grace too to ask that he would be honest and not kind of hide anything from him, but Samuel is like humbles himself to God and does the tough thing that God's asked him to do. And because of that, like, God sets that up right from the beginning. And then because of that, God starts speaking to him. And then he grows up in relationship with God. Is everyone, are you with me? You getting this? Samuel's just this young guy, but he's faithful and he's humble to God. And that's incredible. And in contrast, Samson's pride messes him up. Samson, who, because of God's power, because of the dedication that he's made of his life, has this incredible strength. And so he goes around, like, he kills, like, people just like it's nothing. And he does all this stuff. And he does these incredible feats of like, killing lions and stuff. And he does all that stuff. But I think he forgets that all of that just comes from his dedication to God, and thinks that he's just all that or something. And if we walk in pride, then, like, it just wrecks it all, because dedication isn't about our glory, it's about God's glory. And it's saying, God, I dedicate me to you because I want you to be first. And that's what it's about, is humbling ourselves. So the first thing was being faithful to that dedication. The second one was just being humble to that. And is everyone with me? Good. The third thing I want to talk about is closeness to God, because I think this is a huge contrast in Samuel and Samson's lives. We've got Samuel who walks with God and listens to him throughout his whole life and who spends time with him and who gets to this point where he can talk with God, and just incredible relationship that only comes from constantly just like he grew up in the house of God and he dedicated his life and he made himself close to God all the time. And he does that, whereas Samson just doesn't care. And he just does whatever he wants. And in Judges 16, you might know the story of Samson and Delilah, yeah? So it says Delilah is this woman that Samson falls in love with and wants to be with, but really she's just trying to, like, ends up trying to kill him. And so the rulers of the Philistine people, because the Israelites and the Philistines are at war, and Delilah's a Philistine, Samson's an Israelite, we get the picture. They say, Delilah, Samson, he loves you, he trusts you, so see if you can get him to tell you the secret of his strength, the thing that makes him so strong, because they can't beat him while he's got that strength. And so she does all this stuff, and Samson kind of plays around for a while and tells her all the things that aren't true, but then she whinges to him. And so he says, like, he tells her everything, and he says in verse 17, no razor has ever been used on my head, because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. So Delilah gets them to come another time, the bad guys, and she shaves his head. And says, they get there, and she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Says, he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And I reckon that's the saddest verse in the whole of Samson's life, where he says to Delilah, I've been dedicated to God from birth. That's where my strength comes from. But then when that's gone, he doesn't even realize. And it's this huge contrast between Samuel, who spends time every day in God with God and has this relationship to Samson, who doesn't even know when God's not there. You can't live dedicated in your own strength. We've been designed for, and we need relationship with God for that to work. That's what it's about. So let's not be like Samson, who leaves it until it's too late to cry out to God. And he does. And we find out in verse 28 of Judges 16, they've got Samson, they've cut his hair, they've blinded him, they've tied him up as a slave, they're using him, and they tie him to these pillars. And he says, he calls out, just trying to find it, sorry. Verse 28, he says, Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistine for my two eyes. Even then he's selfish. It's incredible. But and so he takes these two central pillars on the temple, and he pushes it all over, and the whole thing comes down, and it says that he killed many more when he died than when he lived. And what I thought was so sad about this was that the moment that Samson realizes that he needs God for his strength is his last moment. And that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to know early that it's God that gives us our strength, and just live out of that in our life. And like Samuel, live this long life of relationship with God that comes from being dedicated to him. And I just was amazed this week reading those two stories and just how different two lives can be that started so similar. And that's just an incredible thing, I think. And I realized that was about not just being dedicated at birth, not just having that spoken over you or saying that once or making a response in a church service or something like that, but it's living dedicated to God. And that's hard to do. I'm not saying that's always an easy thing, but it is possible and it is worth it. And if we would just be faithful to what God's got for us and faithful to the dedication that we've made, we would be humble to him and we would just stay close to God, then he'll enable us to do that. And he will move through us. And like Samuel, he will use us to do incredible things. And if we don't, then the risk is we end up like Samson and don't realize that we've lost God until it's too late. And I don't want anybody to be in that situation. I don't want to be there. I don't want any of you to be in that spot. I don't want any of my friends or anybody to get to that point where they don't realize that they needed to dedicate their life to God until it's all over. So that's what I've got tonight. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much that You loved us and you've given so much to us. And Lord, that you are worth dedicating our lives to. and nothing else is. God, I pray that you'll help us to live dedicated to your call and your purpose, not just to say it once, but to live it out, God. And we're sorry for every time that we haven't been faithful, that we haven't been humble, that we've been separate from you, for the times that we've stuffed that up, God. And we pray that you would just forgive us for that, and we know that you do, because your love and your grace is so phenomenal. And God, I pray that you would help us to be people who are dedicated to you as we live our lives, God, and that you would use us in incredible ways. If you want to pray that with me tonight and you want to do that, maybe you already do, but you just want to confirm it, just raise your hands with me just for a second, because like, I know that this is something that I need to do fresh all the time. And so if that's you and you want to just say, God, I'm dedicating myself to you again, or maybe even for the first time, I want to pray with you. God, you see the hands and you see the hearts of everybody here. And God, I pray that you would just speak to us right now, God, and move in our hearts powerfully, God, that we would just dedicate ourselves to you, God. And we want to do that again tonight afresh, Lord. We know it's not just about what we say, but it's about how we live when we walk out of here, God. So I pray that you would just put that in our spirit, that you would just make that real for us, God, and you would just keep us to the word that we're saying right now, God, and that we would be people who don't just dedicate once, God, but live dedicated. And God, because of that, you are going to do incredible things. And God, I thank you for every person who wants to do that, for the amazing stuff that you have for their life, because they would choose to dedicate themselves to you. And God, pray that you would do that and you would continue to move and continue to use all of us as we live for your glory. Thank you, God. Just while we're here, if you don't know God, if you've never had a relationship with him, that's available to you, and God died for us, and Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to do this on our own, but we could have that relationship with him, and so that we wouldn't have to be to die and that be it, but we could have eternity bringing him glory. And so if you want me to pray with you for that today as well, just raise your hand. Just, I want to give that opportunity before we finish for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I just thank you for every heart, just for every life here, for your incredible purpose and plan. God, thank you for your Son who was God, was the Word, was there at the beginning, but gave his life for us so that we could have relationship with you. And God, I pray that we would never be people who take that for granted, but always be people who realize the significance of that as much as we can as people, and live lives that honor and are dedicated to you. Amen. Awesome. These guys are going to play a song to finish. Make sure you come on Saturday morning, hey. It's not really that far to drive to Gerringong. You can carpool. It's not really that early to get up on a Saturday. And it'll be a really cool wedding and stuff. Stevie guitar's on fire. Anyway, I just had to say it. I was just looking at the strap the whole time.